Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
This week, I was contacted by a listener who says they're sick and tired of bad customer service. And they're talking about, you know, different providers not showing up when they've arranged to do so. They don't ring to apologise. They never ring back. It happens with various different companies and services. They'll never get back to me, even if I call them numerous times. It causes a huge amount of stress and upset. I don't want to talk on the show about it. I do want you to mention my email because I find the whole thing quite stressful. Conor Pope is Consumer Affairs Correspondent with the Irish Times. Conor, why do so many companies and providers fall short when it comes to customer service?
That's a very, very good question, Andrea, and I wish I had a very simple answer for you. But I suspect the reality is that many companies fall short because they place too much value on acquiring new business. And once they have the new business, they stop caring about their customers. And you see that across the board. You see it when it comes to telecoms. You see it when it comes to airlines. You see it when it comes to almost every single company I can think of. And it's a real shame, and I really feel the pain of your listener because it's echoed by the correspondence I get from hundreds and hundreds of people every single year.
So should we, as the, you know, the tax paying clients, customers to various different private companies, whether they be utility or any sort of service provider, do we have a right to good customer service, Conor?
The short and really depressing answer is no. The only power we have as consumers when it comes to bad customer service is our wallet. And the only power we have is to take our business elsewhere. So if company A lets you down, you should take your business to company B. But that's all really simple. And the reality is far too many of us are aware of the fact that if company A lets us down, company B is just as likely to let us down. And I think one of the things that businesses play off, and again, this is almost every single business I can think of, with a few notable exceptions, but they play off the fact that they know they can mistreat us and let us down, and we will still stay with them. I'll give you an example of a bank that left the country a couple of years ago. And, you know, I've said this before, but everybody will remember about a decade or 12 years ago, Ulster Bank effectively stopped functioning as a bank for weeks and weeks during one particularly grim summer. And people couldn't get money lodged into their accounts. And there was this big computer glitch at their headquarters in the Royal Bank of Scotland. And at the time I was thinking, oh, well, that's it for Ulster Bank. People are going to leave them in their thousands because they have singularly failed to do the one thing that you expect a bank to do, which is mind your money and be able to process your wages and all of that stuff. Almost nobody switched bank accounts after the fact because people said, oh, do you know what? It's too much hassle.
Too much hassle.
And all banks are the same. And you see that all of the time. Well, and I do it myself. And like, so it's not like I'm lecturing the nation and saying, oh, you must always be on the guard. You're always switching.
He's a great man for switching.
Because like the reality is that I'm a busy person. I have young kids myself, and it's hard to find the time to do all of this stuff. And I genuinely believe that companies profit off this stuff. And the other simple reality is that an awful lot of the time, what companies do is they give their customer care to the lowest paid, most poorly trained people that they can employ.
So it's outsourced.
So those people are, it's not even that it's outsourced. It might be in-house. But the people who they employ on the front lines are badly paid, they have low morale, and they are disempowered. So they have no power to do anything except ask the four or five questions on the box, or tick a few boxes, and if they can't resolve the problem on that score, it's game over for you. It's really, really depressing.
Stay with me, Conor, for a few moments, because Rory's with us. Rory's got in touch. What's your recent experience with customer service, Rory?
Oh, hi, Andrea. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Yeah, so I have an experience. I think I won't mention the company name. They've already been hammered enough in the media, I think, in the last couple of years. But so it was a broadband service provider and a mobile phone provider. I looked to switch because they had a great offer on the website. I rang their sales department. Their sales department call, that was absolutely perfect, really friendly, really gave me straightforward instructions, etc. What time I should, what data should receive equipment at, when my new internet should come online. So the sales call was perfect. Everything after that was an absolute disaster, from receiving the right equipment to getting the date for the switchover to getting the date for the equipment. So that took ages. There was confusion around the equipment because I was moving to fiber broadband, and apparently just two pieces of equipment for fiber broadband. I only received the router, then later received the fiber box, and that took, and for them to figure that out, that I wasn't delivered all the equipment, took like four or five calls, 1 hour waiting on each call, getting through to someone. It was an absolute nightmare. The stress of it. I'm working, I'm a hybrid working model, so it's very important for me, internet, for me to be able to work. So it was an absolute disaster. And then after that, once the internet was finally up and running, even the installer told me, well, best of luck with this company. When he came to install the equipment, because it was a third party.
He knew rightly. So what was the upshot of it, Rory? How did you reach a conclusion with them?
There's so many different variations of errors. It was just incredible. But even the billing was incorrect. So I had to spend hours on the phone again, getting them to bill me correctly as they first stated on the sales call. And the hoops they were trying to make me jump through to go back on their systems. But in essence, I wanted to back out of the contract.
Right.
They told me when I wanted to back out of the contract, they were saying, well, you're so this far in now, you have to pay this fee to get out of the contract. And eventually I had to go to Comregs to help me out. And in fairness, they did. They helped me out. They went through my case. And they managed to back me out of the contract.
Yeah.
But I was roped into a 2-year contract. That whole experience took 1 year to back out.
to get out of the contract. I wonder, yeah. Connor Pope is still with us, Rory. Connor's listening to your story. Do enough of us use the breakout clause, Connor, to get out of these contracts?
No, we don't. But to be perfectly honest, I hear Rory's story there, and I could stake your life, Andrea. I'm not going to bet my life, but I can stake your life on what company he's talking about.
You know which one it is.
I won't mention them. And the story is wearingly familiar. And I'll tell you what's so depressing here. I can guarantee, I can say with 100% certainty, that if in the early days of Rory's difficulties with this particular company, if he'd contacted me and I'd contacted the company on his behalf, the problem would have been resolved in 20 minutes.
Mm.
And that's not because I have any great superpowers. And it's not because I'm in any way special. It's because companies hate bad press. And they will fall over themselves to fix a problem to avoid bad press. And what I can't understand is, if they can fix it for me on behalf of Rory in 20 minutes...
Mm.
Why the hell can't they fix it for Rory in 20 minutes?
Oh, sure, look, I know it's the same. The emails to us here at Lunchtime Live, it's unbelievable and very annoying and frustrating for customers.
And it's the same story over and over and over and over and over again. And it is just unconscionable that companies across the landscape are allowed to do this and are allowed to mistreat their customers in this fashion and to do it without any kind of comeback.
What?
But that's unfortunately the world in which we live.
It is. What's your experience with customer service, Claire?
Like a previous caller, bad. Basically, you spend your time on the phone trying to get through. It's impossible to get through to the frontline workers. And it's impossible. My thing was, I was with a phone company for 20 years, and they weren't treating me properly, so I decided to to change. I went into their shop. Three people at the counter gave me a telephone number, ring this number, and they will sort out your problem.
Mm.
Took me so long to get through, number one, to get through, because every time you got through, you were put on hold or this, that, or the other. And it's terrible the way you're treated.
Yeah.
It's the custom.
Very infuriating, and particularly like that, Claire, when you go in, you know, when you go to the bother of actually going in store, and nobody can help you in the shop.
Exactly. The thing about it is, then you see, I changed companies, and the original company rang me to ask me why I was changing, and I just said to them, you need to to have your frontline workers teach them communication skills. Mm. They need to be able to talk to people. They need to be friendly. They need to, you know what I mean? They could have easily sorted out my problem at the front line, but no, they weren't interested. They just gave me the number, go ahead and sort out your own problem. And well, that's the way it is always. You are expected to sort out your own problem, even though they caused the problem.
What about you, Gareth? What's your experience?
My experience was I actually changed energy providers over a year back, and even after my experience, it is still worth changing providers because there was a significant saving in it, but I done it through a website. So I done it through the website, which then contacted my provider to get on the details, but unknowing to me, let's say the code was meant to be number 10 and that was the tariff I was going to be on, they sent the wrong code, which it took a while for that to be picked up by the energy provider. And then they said that they had gone back and fixed everybody, but they didn't fix me. And it looks like they didn't fix a couple of people. It took me, the first bill came and I wasn't used to the bill or the way it looked. And I was like, that seems a bit strange. Life got hectic. The next bill I didn't look at. And then the third bill came and I looked at it and I went, this is completely wrong. They've got me on a variable tariff as opposed to a 24-hour fixed one. So I called them up. Two calls later, I got told, problem coming from the website. We know about it and we're rectifying it. Lovely. Thank you very much. The next bill comes and it's still wrong. And I give them a call and it's in the process of getting fixed. Okay, I'll wait. Yeah. I'll wait again. The next bill comes and it's still not fixed. And then about 20-something calls later, I wasn't getting anywhere. And the problem I was having was, unfortunately, for the frontline people, who would get it in the neck from everybody.
I can imagine.
They had to go to their manager to ask the question and then come back. So the call that would have been maybe 10 minutes long with a couple of questions was, I'll go and ask my manager. They trot off, come back, give the answer. Of course, follow-up question, I have to go back to the manager. I could never, for the life of me, in all those calls, get the manager to come on the phone and just have a straight conversation. And they admitted, the people in there basically said, the managers won't talk to anybody. They want this back and forth basically so that they're at arm's length from you.
Yeah.
And the only way I actually got it fixed in the end was I got an email saying, how's our service after one of the calls? And I actually put in, terrible.
Yeah.
And I wrote out exactly what it was. And then I get a call from somebody that's actually a little bit up higher to actually fix the issue. But that's not how you deal with it.
No,
if you ask for the manager, you know, after a certain amount of time, you should be able to get the manager,
yeah.
But it was just flat out, no, you can never get them.
Did you ever go back, Rory, to that company? I know you didn't want to mention their name, but did you ever go back to that particular provider after you left them?
I never will, because I found a provider that just sells a straightforward service, and their customer service is decent and they're very friendly and courteous every time I ring. So, and yes, I'm probably paying slightly more than all the deals that all the mainstream companies offer. But you know what?
It's worth it.
I'd rather stay.
I totally agree
with
you.
And to say as well that not to put people that work in customer service positions down, because I work in a service centre and the people that I work are exemplary and fantastic and do a fantastic job. So it is possible to run a good customer service department. Absolutely. It probably shows the culture that these companies are running under. And thank goodness my company has a good culture.
Good culture of it.
So it's possible.
Paul has got in touch. He makes the point. He says he thinks customer service will only improve when there's a recession. Another listener tells me the biggest problem in Ireland is the lack of access to class actions dealing with companies. Customer protection is very poor here. It's unfair that individuals must take on these big funded companies. This listener tells me some years ago, a friend of mine, their father passed away. My friend cancelled his Sky subscription, and a few months later, a letter addressed to his dad was received. Oh God, the opening line of the letter was, "We're sorry to see you leave." And then the letter then progressed with ways to entice him back to the subscription service. Disgraceful, says this texter. Another listener, all companies should be made to have a service where they call us back instead of customers having to wait hours and hold, says Dearmouth. 087 1400 106, that's the WhatsApp number. That's a consumer affairs correspondent with the Irish Times, Connor Pope, Rory, Claire, Gareth. Thanks a million for getting in touch and sharing all of your horror customer service stories with us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.